Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Aside from what seems to be an older listener, Seth, on the text page, who still has Farrah Fawcett on his man cave wall, we asked the audience before, do you still put posters up on the wall?
We're asking the teenagers.
Yeah, yeah, teenagers.
Still put posters up on the wall.
Yeah. So aside from somebody who I'm assuming is maybe in an older demographic who's got a Farrah Fawcett poster up, the responses back have been fatheads are a big thing. You know,
they still are? Okay.
My kid still has a massive George Springer fathead on his wall, no posters. And it says, this is from an actual younger listener right here, this one. No, we don't do posters anymore. We just make the players our wallpaper on our phones or our banner on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I guess your walls in your bedroom are just
you can display nothing. It to the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Gosh, I wish I could go back in time and be a teenager these days.
You know? How do you think you'd do? A lot of phone, man. A lot of stuff done with the phone.
Yeah, but not with actual conversations or anything.
Yeah.
I think I'd be happy. I'd be happier, but I'd probably be more reclusive. Actually, no, it'd be bad for me. Because I tend towards I'm not necessarily an extrovert.
Yeah.
People might be surprised to know that. I've had to learn social skills over the years. And that's, I probably would, with no incentive to do so in high school. And then but I'd be playing sport. Like, sports saved me in that regard. Like, I had to learn how to not to be a complete weirdo. I might not have played sports. I might have just been so interested in all the various things I could learn online or get trouble I could get into. Yeah.
At the Astros game last night, Amy and I went to that bar in center field before the game, like the one right next to where Space City does the pregame show.
Yeah.
And the bartender was a listener. His name's Sherman. Shout out to Sherman. And then there was a listener standing there at the bar right next to us named Ian. And so we got into conversation. And Ian asked me, is Seth as wild as he seems on the air sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give you what I told him, and you tell me if I gave him the right answer. I said, Seth is 100% authentic on the air. You know, the emotion is real. Anything he has major emotion about is real. But he's not 24 hours wild. Like, you're very much a homebody and you're in bed early, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah.
I think that it's me without restrictor plates when I'm on air.
Right.
And it's me, like, in conversation. If I get into conversations with people and everything, yeah. I'm a lot more reserved. I'm a listener, Sean.
Yeah.
When I like talk to people, I very much like to listen. I don't like to give speeches.
And
I can't, if I feel like I've been talking for more than 30 seconds in a conversation in real life, I feel like I'm doing too much.
I think sometimes people conflate, like, you have a big personality, and sometimes people assume that means like you're out and about and around and up late and carousing and things like that sometimes. And you've said before, you're, that's Off the air, that's not you, really.
I love you. I just like having a good time. Okay, you know what I am, Sean? Yeah. I have a really hard time doing things at a medium pace.
Yeah.
So whatever I do, and if I go out, especially if I am drinking, like I have a good time.
Yes.
But I gotta parse the energy expenditures out throughout the day. So there's only so many things I can do, like without kind of getting worn out.
Right, you're not antisocial. I'm not.
Oh yeah, I'm like, a good time at a party. No, invite me to your party for sure. It's just a really good chance I'm not going.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I'm saying. That doesn't make you antisocial. It means it actually makes you self-aware. Like I can only do so much. You know,
I have to tell myself. Or sometimes after I get off, I get off a shit. This is a fake job, which is not real work, and yet I'm exhausted at the end of it. And sometimes, like even as I'm speaking right now, I'm like, Seth, do you really have to have this much energy when you're talking about it?
Yes, you actually do.
Okay, so this is where it comes back to with CJ Stroud earlier saying, you know, talking about how hard he worked in the offseason. Yeah. But it sounds like that might have led to the shoulder tightness because he said there's a risk reward in that. Like that was me with workouts. Like I would go too hard and I would either get injured or get burnt out. So like you got to learn as a quarterback, especially in your workouts, you got to learn some level of moderation.
Yep.
And really, really as a quarterback, there can be no risk reward with your weight room workouts. It's got to be as gentle as possible over the long term. You're not trying to turn yourself into an Instagram model in one off season.
Yep, for sure. Nick Caserio, by the way, going to join us 7:15 tomorrow on the show. So looking forward to talking to Nick about the off season so far and the upcoming season with the Texans GM. All right. Speaking of the Texans GM, it was about this time a year ago, maybe 14 months ago, he made the big trade for Stephon Diggs. Diggs, I would say here, Seth, model citizen as a Houston Texan. There were no real, if I were to go back and Google, there was no point where Diggs, even in games where he was only getting one or two catches, very few targets, he was, you know, Diggs was
a model citizen. He was everything that you would want for in a veteran teammate.
Absolutely, absolutely. Until he tore his ACL, and then that was it. Has not gone similarly in New England so far. Mike Vrabel has had to answer many Stephon Diggs questions, most of them without Diggs even in the building. In fact, him not being in the building was the genesis for a lot of those questions.
And we've got that the report from Scott Zolak, the color commentator and former Patriots quarterback who also does radio in Boston, saying that there are questions about whether he's all in in the building.
Or he might not even be on the team week one.
Like there is an avenue where they could cut him without having to give him all his guaranteed money if he doesn't pass the final physical.
That's right. So, but the big story with Diggs lately has been there's a video that surfaced of him on a boat party with what looked to be, you know, three models of some sort kind of hovering over him, fawning over him. And towards the end of the video is about 30 seconds long, he handed one of them what looked to be a little bag that had some sort of pink substance in it. So Diggs makes his first appearance at mandatory minicamp yesterday, and the media asks him, how's it going here so far? You talked to Vrabel? What's been the conversation about what was seen out there on the internet?
I want to be as candid with you guys as possible. I kind of like have a thing where talk about my personal life with people I don't know personally. I'm pretty sure everybody here, men and women, are great people, but you know what I'm saying? I kind of keep my personal life personal. I had a conversation with Graves, obviously. I'm going to echo everything that he said. He told me, you know, hoping everybody making good decisions, you know what I'm saying? And I had a conversation with people in the building as well, so, you know, everything else is everything else. You know, the particulars is all internal.
Okay, it was all internal. So that's the first answer. That's the first answer to the question about it. For a media, especially a media like the Boston media, that's not enough. You know,
they're
follow-up questions.
They're going to ask questions. The one thing that struck me is he was talking about his personal life. It's like, all right, some of this, though, too, it's like, I don't know if Stephon Diggs understands or realizes the world in which he lives, in which if somebody's filming you and it goes out to millions of people, then all of a sudden your personal business is everybody's business.
Correct.
That's the social media world we live in.
Which is why it begs a series of follow-up questions, including what was in the bag, the pink powder. So this is, keep in mind, that was Diggs' answer. You know, we're going to keep it internal, had the conversations. That's my personal life. I'm not going to talk about it with strangers, blah, blah, blah. Here come the questions after that, beginning with, hey, so what was in the bag?
What was in the bag?
Obviously, it's a conversation, you know, that's happening internal. You know what I'm saying? I can't have too much of a conversation about it. But I've been in this league 10 years. You can format the question many different ways. You know, I'm obviously answered the same way.
Step one, yeah. Did you know it was being recorded?
Once again, you can format the question many different ways. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing this for 10 years. The conversation that I had with Raven and the people in the building, obviously, is going to be handled internal, you know what I'm saying, an in-house thing. So.
Do you regret it happened?
So you asked me again. I would hate to repeat myself again.
Obviously, we saw you afterwards here. So what, you know, even though you've been in the league for 10 years, we all learn things every single day. What did you learn from it? And how do you move forward with it as a New England Patriot?
Obviously, I don't want to be rude, but I would hate to repeat myself for the fourth time. But you want me to repeat myself again? Say the same thing again? I mean, I'm trying to be as polite as possible.
I'm just trying to
be the best teammate I can be.
Thank you. Seth and I are like Family Feud there. First one to hit the button to say
I know. I was after two. After the second time, I was like, Sean.
The tease was he reminded me of a former Texans legend. The answer, Arian Foster. Yes.
The best answer when they were asked, were you aware you were being filmed as you were passing that baggie with the pink stuff in it?
Yeah.
The best would have been to be like, I gotta be honest, I don't know. I was on a lot of that pink stuff.
Oops.
Oh. So
I mean, I'm keeping it internal, and I've been doing this for 10 years. Yeah.
Is it unfair to assume that the fact that he didn't just come right out and say, oh, like, yeah, don't worry, whatever was in the pink bag, he wasn't anything serious, that, okay, is it safe to assume that it was not just a harmless, innocuous?
It was not Fun Dip. You remember we talked about Fun Dip,
right?
It wasn't. He didn't have a sugar stick in one hand and then the pink bag in the other, and he licks the sugar and sticks it in there to eat the strawberry flavored sugar. No.
I'm watching that video the first time before I even realized there was that, because I saw it without reading the captions and everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't see. I just knew that there was some kind of hubbub about Stephon Diggs. And you see those girls around him, and I assumed it was something because of Cardi B being jealous or something. I have no idea. I had no idea when I was watching it. And you just see these three women just, like, so eager to talk to Stephon Diggs, and they're laughing. And it was almost like they were trying to climb up onto a stage at a concert or something.
He was on higher ground from
And them, I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, man, oh, it must be nice to be just a young, good-looking, single dude on a boat in South Florida,
right.
A professional athlete. And then you see the pink baggie, and then you're like, oh, that's what it's like being a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, you know, hey, were you ever at a party when you're like, you're talking to some girl, and then all of a sudden some kind of like skeezy looking dude comes up?
Yeah.
Just some like little ratty, greasy haired dude comes
she
up.
She gone.
And the girl immediately leaves you. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
And you realize, oh, they're going into the bathroom and like, you mean some of the stuff that happens in the movies does happen in real life?
Oh,
holy
okay.
crap.
He's got Molly. I got it. Okay. I get it. So that was Diggs yesterday with the New England media. So off to a rip roaring start as a New England Patriot, Stephon Diggs. This was Mike McDaniel, who I would say is probably on a hot seat this year. I mean, he's won some games in Miami, has not won a playoff game. Tua's concussions and injuries have been an issue, but I would say Mike McDaniel probably needs to get some stuff done in Miami, probably needs to win a playoff game at some point. Remember the happy-go-lucky Mike McDaniel that was always joking and just kind of not taking life all that seriously and whatnot? This was Mike McDaniel getting asked about Jalen Ramsey, getting salty, and then just babbling for a minute about outside noise.
I'll just confirm Jalen Ramsey not here.
Hmm? Oh, he is not here. We are focused on building the Dolphins today and anything outside of that any sort of distractions I'm not focused on.
Surprised it's taken this long to find a resolution on the team.
I don't personally, and I would lump you into this with me, I don't give a about what I feel. I don't even really go down that road of how do I feel about it? My job is to react and control my controllables and make sure that people are moving in one direction appropriately. And so the business is business. The opportunity that business does provide in the off season is a rep to the team about handling noise. What do I define noise as? Noise is things that don't have to do with what actually you're there to do and you should be focused on doing because you'll be held accountable to do. So business in the off seasons allows you to speak to your team about how the focus of noise is a constant battle that if you're successful, you have to win.
Okay, so Ben Gary,
for those, into Easterby territory
for those
there,
who don't, I don't know what it is.
TED Talks circles and what have you.
Just the babbling combined with his stoner teenage voice inflection. When our producer, when we play a long cut like that, our producer Ben Gary gets in our ear and tells us when there's 10 seconds left. So we can kind of get ready to do our thing. And Ben got in my ear that time and said, 10. And I'm like, thank God. Oh, my God. What the hell was that? How did Seth, I watch him, and never more after listening to a cut have I ever felt like, this guy is so unimpressive. He's unimpressive.
This is how Dolphins fans feel right now.
Yeah.
Dolphins fans feel like a girl who met a guy at a party who plays guitar and started... just, you know, like said something interesting about Kierkegaard or something, you know, and you fall for him. You like his hair. He's got a unique style or whatever. And then you fast forward to 3 years later, he still only knows the three same songs on the guitar. And you realize that everything he's saying, like that you thought was deep and philosophical, was just something he saw on Instagram that morning. And he's got all kinds of reasons for why he doesn't have a job. Yeah. You know, like, that's just a, they're like, you just don't understand that this is the why. Like, yeah, he is a jobless wannabe hippie who only knows three chords. Yeah. Not even three songs, just three chords. Yeah.
There's just not much there. I'm just, wow. And I love the little kind of faux emotion with the curse word in there was pretty good.
I don't give a bleep what I think.
Yeah, watch this.
I do like that. That is a good. I am impressed with coaches and GMs, and I think Casario is really good at this and trying to detach emotion from it.
Yeah.
Like the way you think it should be versus the way things are. It's hard as a GM sometimes to be like, oh, you, look, there's the part of you that says you signed that contract.
Yeah.
I expected you to not want a new contract after 1 year.
That's right.
But there's. The pragmatic part of you has to set that aside and just deal with the situation as it is.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Keep texting in 713-572-46. A lot of thoughts on Nick Chubb and Joe Mixon we'll get to in the backfield. That's a good segue. We got minicamp standouts from yesterday, including C.J. Stroud. How did C.J. look? He threw. How did he look? And who are some of the players that are maybe coming into this season a little off the radar that made an impression yesterday? I've got two names from yesterday that we will get to, and we'll do that coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Payne and Pendergast with you. We had a texter, Seth, say, with Chubb and Mixon, they're both approaching their 30s. They've both been with mediocre franchises their entire careers. They're ready to win more than ready for accolades. And I don't speak for those guys, obviously.
With Chubb and who?
Mixon's been on some good – I mean, Mixon played in a Super Bowl. The Bengals haven't been – the Browns have been largely trash.
Right, but it's still in terms of winning a Super Bowl and all that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe so. You know, we haven't heard from either of them since the start of the offseason, so, you know, we don't know. That'll be who I'm most interested – now that this – I'm glad this texter sent this in. I'm not sure if I entirely agree with the sentiment. I'd want to hear from those guys first before I put words in their mouth. But I'm anxious to hear what Joe Mixon thinks of the Nick Chubb signing, you know?
Like, I mean, Joe, right. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure – I would guess that Mixon's super cool with it and would love to have somebody take off the load a little bit just because as you saw him get injured last year, Detroit's got a great situation right now in having two running backs, and they both get a lot of touches.
They do.
It's nice that one of them is a very good receiving threat.
That helps.
But they do. I was actually kind of shocked. Because I was kind of making the, hey, Joe Mixon and Woody Marks can be like Detroit.
Yeah.
And they both, looking at their stats, you wouldn't guess that it's running back by committee.
I'm a fantasy football player. Both the Detroit guys are 100% viable, high-level fantasy running backs. That's hard to do in the NFL is have two guys that put up numbers of number one running backs. Yeah.
It is tough, though, too. I mean, as an NFL running back, you're kind of like a female in Hollywood. It's like no matter how good you are, all of a sudden the roles start drying up once you hit a certain age.
Yeah.
And then you got to start doing these, it's a bunch of the old great actresses that you like.
Oh, like an ensemble. Yeah.
An ensemble type movie. There's still a role. That's where running backs are.
Is that what this is?
You're going to be dancing around a kitchen table weirdly with your glasses of white wine and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We need to go find Todd Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott and bring them in and just have a four-person ensemble older running back cast.
And then somewhere, like, and there's all of a sudden, one of them, curiously, there's a young guy that's interested in one of them.
Yeah.
That could be played by Woody Marks.
And there's always one that looks and acts much older than these older ones, you know? Uh-huh. Like, there's always one that's like, wow, she's like 85.
Like the mother goose.
That'll be like Curtis Martin. We'll bring him back in. You know, somebody from the early 2000s. Maybe even Herschel Walker. Although Herschel Walker looks good these days, man. He's stayed in shape. All right, let's get to minicamp here with the Texans. CJ Stroud was back. Slinging it around. He looked good. Right arm works. Right shoulder works. D'Amico Ryans, is there a morale shift for the team at all with C.J. Stroud back under center?
Today, I think C.J.'s first play, he made a big throw on a corner route. And you saw the energy. You saw the competitiveness of C.J. talking a little smack to the defense. Like, I love the back and forth that happens. And C.J. definitely added some energy to our practice, added some energy to the offense. Guys are doing well, but I think you see when you have game changers, and that's what CJ is, and he instantly changed the vibe of the entire practice changed having CJ out there and seeing him make the plays that he was able to make.
Yeah, he looked good. If you hadn't paid any attention to any news with the Texans the last month or so, Seth, where this shoulder's been a thing, and you came out of Carbon Freeze and they plunked you down at Texans practice yesterday, the one thing you would have noticed is CJ has changed physically. He does look like he's put on some good weight, but you would have watched him throw and been like, oh, cool, he's ready for week one, you know?
Well, and especially in his connection with Jaden Higgins,
yes.
As many of the listeners have probably seen on Instagram or X or wherever, Higgins had a very nice one-handed catch. It looked seamless. It just looked like, oh, okay, these guys have they've been playing together forever. So that it's hard not to get excited about it. And with wide receivers, you got to be always careful. You know, slot receivers, I'm very hesitant to heap too much praise on during mini camps.
Mm-hmm.
But for big, long guys who are playing on the outside in OTAs versus really good cornerbacks like Derek Stingley, I will read into that. And D'Amico, I know we're going to hear him talk about Jaden Higgins here in a second.
Yeah.
He was very positive about Jaden Higgins. But I made a comparison this morning that a lot of people, it resonated with a lot of people. When we watched DeAndre Hopkins in minicamp and in training camp his rookie year, mm-hmm. I was thinking, all right, this, you can use this immediately because he's got catch radius and he's got really good hands.
Yep.
And with Jaden Higgins, catch radius, really good hands. And they're different in a lot of other ways. But the one thing about Higgins that I think might be in his rookie year a little bit better than DeAndre Hopkins is that I think Higgins might integrate into the offense more quickly than Hopkins did.
Yeah.
Because Hopkins coming out of Clemson, again, Clemson just not a whole lot of complexity or nuance to that offense. Very, very good, obviously. Whereas with Iowa State, I think Higgins has been exposed to a little bit more of the way they do it in the pros. And I think that because he has that length and because he has those really, really good hands, it's hard for me not to envision him being used pretty early in the season.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Hopkins in his rookie year got dropped into an offense where Matt Schaub was all of a sudden turning into a pick six machine, and it became this yo-yo with Case Keenum and Matt Schaub. Jaden Higgins is going to be coming into an offense that at the very least has high-level quarterback play going on, presumably, with C.J. Stroud, especially if he looks like he did yesterday out at minicamp. To Seth's point, here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday, asked about Jaden Higgins.
It's been really exciting to see just Jaden's growth process in a short amount of time that he's been here. I've seen a guy who's steadily got better every single week. You've seen him make even more plays, and seeing him today, I mean, this is the most plays that he's made, and in our last week of camp, to see a rookie who's come in and showing right now that he could be an impact player for us, I think it means a lot. And we saw it as coaches watching this film from the college game, but I think it just means a lot to the entire team, the players, defensive players, other offensive players, actually seeing him thrive in practice, because I truly believe if you take practice the right way, deliberately, and you work at it, it'll show up in the games. And so it's really awesome to see the work that he's doing and the plays that he's making.
This would be one too, Seth, and I am probably getting way ahead of myself here because it's just mandatory minicamp. We haven't even had preseason yet with Jaden Higgins. But from what we've seen so far, I think you can at least see which way the wind's blowing with Jaden Higgins. It looks like he's got the makings to be a good player and make an impact as a rookie. This will have been, if he comes in and makes an impact, he comes in, say, gets, you know, has a DeAndre Hopkins type rookie year where, you know, he gets, you know, 50, 60 catches for 800 yards, something like that. I think if he stays healthy, that's perfectly within the realm of possibility. That would be 2 years in a row where the Texans moved out of the first round into the second round, picked up draft capital, but got guys where you watch him play and you go, man, if you did a redraft, these guys would probably be first round picks. The Texans, I think, had a first round grade on Higgins. I think that's the guy who was available when they decided to make the Jackson Dart, the trade with the Giants where they picked Jackson Dart, and the Texans, I think, were probably hoping that Higgins would still be sitting there at 34. Kamari Lassiter last year, and if Higgins turns into something this year, that's a real feather in the cap, I think, for Nick Caserio and the scouting staff there, and the trust in their board to get out of the first round but still have potential impact players sitting there.
Well, and it is kind of a testament to the discipline that I think Nick tries to have on draft day. He tries not to fall in love with any individual guy. And that if you're presented a really good deal from the Giants to trade, it makes sense. And, you know, they tried to trade back up. Supposedly it was for – reportedly when the Texans tried to trade back up into the first round, it was for Connerly, the offensive tackle that went to Washington.
Yeah.
But I think the thing about Higgins is the catch radius, the hands, yes. And then it's intriguing because he's got a silky element to his movement for a big guy.
Yeah.
And when we talked to Clint, you know, Clint pointed out the difference between what Nico Collins is right now and what Jaden Higgins is. That Nico, for a bigger guy, really sinks his hips really well on stop routes and on his breaks for breaking routes and everything. He does it really, really well for a big guy. Higgins isn't there yet, but I totally 100% see the potential for him to develop into that. And it's not, he doesn't have to be as good at Nico Collins at it, but he's just, he moves really, really well for a big guy.
It was one practice, so we'll see. You know, they're going to practice again today, and then we've got all the training camp, obviously. Jaden Higgins and Cade Stover stood out yesterday. And when you got two guys that you don't walk, you know, they hand you your roster when you get to practice there and you look, and they're not on your list of guys where you go, okay, well, these are core guys on the team that you're counting on being good this year. I mean, I think eventually you're counting on Higgins and Stover to contribute. Stover looked different yesterday, I think. He looked like he's figured some things out. And Higgins looks like he's just sliding in there. Like, he doesn't look like a rookie at all right now.
Right, and I think the other thing, too, that I've learned about D'Amico is that, man, D'Amico does not shy away from giving praise to rookies that he feels good about. And he did it with Kamari Lassiter last year. I mean, Lassiter, right from the get-go, is working in with the ones.
Yeah.
And I was kind of, like, nervous about it, just in, man, is this too much too soon? But when he genuinely feels good about a player, he doesn't try to go old school or like Bill O'Brien on it or anything. Like, no, we're going to give him an opportunity to play.
Nope.
And it feels like they feel about Jaden Higgins very similar to how they felt about Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah, and Lassiter looked great at practice yesterday. I should mention that. He was a standout. Now, he got beat on that Higgins one-handed about 40-yard catch down near the goal line. I say he got beat. He had pretty good coverage, but CJ just put the ball in a perfect spot, and Higgins made an amazing catch on the play right there.
It was like kind of like Stingley on Garrett Wilson in the Jets game.
Yeah,
All right, he got on the shin catch. That was Stingley, wasn't it?
No, that was Lassiter also in that.
Oh, it was Lassiter on that one. Okay, yeah. So like Lassiter had him covered perfectly. Yeah. It was like maybe half a centimeter away from being out of bounds, but because Wilson's lower shin
hit the ground,
touched just before his upper shin went out. It was a catch.
Yeah, I didn't watch that Higgins play yesterday and go, boy, that DB is toast. Who is that over there? Like, no, that was
right.
A great throw and catch for sure. And Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson looked great yesterday. You expect that? Like, we're talking about Higgins and Stover. These would be guys that if they go stock up this year, those are the things that can help get you from 10 wins to 12 wins. You're counting on Hunter and Anderson to be great this year just to at least maintain what you've done the last couple years. They both looking – somehow Danielle Hunter looks bigger now than he did last year.
he's one of those guys that looks bigger when he's not in pads.
Yeah.
Because it's more – yeah, like
he's
the pads almost detract from how physically imposing
he is.
I think one of our listeners made a great point earlier in that – the offensive tackles had a couple of rough snaps versus both Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. I much prefer to hear that, especially in OTAs, where you take everything on the line with a grain of salt because it's just not realistic. But I'd much rather hear about that than all through training camp last year when Mario Edwards and Foley Fatakasi were just destroying the interior offensive line. Right. Like, it's different to hear that Danielle Hunter is destroying a young offensive tackle compared to, Foley Fatakasi and Mario Edwards. And I'm not insulting them. It's just those guys are not sack artists, Or those guys were basically running pace for pace alongside CJ as he was taking his drops.
Yeah.
Mario Edwards was hitting the back of the drop before CJ Stroud was. That's how quickly they were getting through.
No doubt. Okay, this is a great text. Seth, you were speculating how you would do if you were a teenager growing up in this era right now,
yeah,
what it's like to be a teenager. Seth, you wanted to know what it was like growing up these days. Imagine being surrounded by nothing but Mike McDaniels. That's what it's like growing up these days.
just
a bunch of people
they know it all. They're just
it's about the noise. And when I define noise, it's defined as things that really distract you sort of from what if you are judged by these things.
Yeah, and like overthinking everything.
Overthinking and just muttering.
Well, some of it's the influence. Like some of the people who are big on Instagram and even they're like some of the adults that younger adults are into, like very, very intelligent people, but that I sometimes this guy's just talking in circles.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess the same way, remember there was a period in sports radio where every single kid that got into radio or came out of college sounded exactly like Jim Rome. They sounded exactly like Colin Coward. Yeah. And you're like, dude, you got to go out to a party and you got to talk to a girl and then get in a fist fight or something, because you sound like a kid in his bedroom trying to imitate Colin Coward.
Yes.
You got to go out and live some life, man. So now it's all these guys that are either trying to sound like Joe Rogan or Jordan Peterson, whoever else it might be. Be your own person, be your own person.
All the ones that you're talking about that I can think of, I'm like, none of them are in the business anymore. The specific people that have tried to pattern very clearly after those styles, not around. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Up next, proof that C.J. Gardner-Johnson is adapting to Texas very, very quickly. We will have that. And I have a mini pedicast at the top of the hour, 9 o'clock, a very specific sports pedicast. It has to do with one of the most successful sports figures in town here. We'll have that coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Next. All right, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. It looked to me like this happened on an IG live feed when maybe he was running around the building doing all the media stuff on Monday. The Texans had their media day on Monday where they film all the little videos they use on the Jumbotron, and they film all the starters saying what school they went to so that when they're on Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football, they've got that footage stocked and everything.
Where do you stand on guys citing their high school?
I don't like it. I think it's trying to get too cute. It's not funny anymore. It's not unique anymore. You know?
I always wanted to do it, except because I went to a school that didn't have a lot of guys in the pros. I always felt like I owed it to Cornell to, despite having paid full tuition, to go to school there.
Use the pub, you know.
I felt I owed it. I was one of the rare NFL players who used a big chunk of their signing bonus to pay off their school loan.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, I
love that. I felt I owed it to Cornell football to say Cornell.
Yeah.
I know. So Victor Central High School got shafted.
Yep.
Sorry, everybody.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, man. Blue Devils.
Yeah.
So if you've been allowed to keep that name.
I was going to say, I'm like, ooh, edgy.
They're still the Blue Devils. They're awesome now.
Good.
My high school is the, yeah, they were, we were kind of, It was a decrepit phase my high school was going through when I was in high school there. Not because of me, Sean.
That's tough.
But yeah, they got it together.
You're like the Miles Garrett of what is it called? So what's the high school? Like Saint Victor, you said?
No, not Saint Victor. Just Victor High School.
Victor High School. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Victor Central High School.
Victor Central. Okay, yeah. I'm just saying you were like the
Victor Sinful High School back when I was there.
That's what I'm saying. They're the Blue Devils for a reason, baby.
Yeah.
CJ Gardner-Johnson was looked to be on an IG live feed as he was walking around the building, and he's
responding to comments and what have you.
Yeah, and this is what he said. This is how you know he's getting acclimated.
And it sounds like he's responding to somebody who's throwing shade at him going to the Texans.
Yes, here we go.
Won't see another ring without Philly. That's crazy. They probably won't see one without me. What the f*** you talking about? Y'all have one out of left. I'm popping now. What y'all talking about? I'm glad I'm in Texas. They say everything big in Texas. Booty, beers, and bottles.
Is that it from a rap lyric, or is that a C.J. Gardner-Johnson original?
I have no idea. I'm praying it's an original. If he made that up on the spot, then a text in. This is Seth and I showing our age. Is he playing
booties, beers, and bottles?
Is he stealing that from somebody, or is that his?
I like this kind of ego and personality in a defensive back. So you'll recall 2022, pretty good year for the Eagles.
Yeah.
2023. What the hell's going on with the Eagles? C.J. Gardner-Johnson was with the Lions.
Yep.
2024.
Comes back.
Won a Super Bowl with the Eagles.
Yep.
I don't have to. That's enough logic for me, Sean.
Hell yeah.
To Vic Fangio or anybody else. It was C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They were a mess without C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And they were, you know, when he got ejected from that game at the end of the season against the Chiefs, they were a mess defensively with him out of the game.
That's right, man. That's right. I love that. So at the very beginning of that cut, if you're wondering what's going on, someone's hitting him on that IG live feed saying you're not going to win another Super Bowl. I love it. And you know, it's only a 15-second cut. Play it again, Ben. Play it one more time.
Won't see another ring without Philly. That's crazy. They probably won't see one without me.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Y'all have one out of left. I'm popping now. Y'all talking about? I'm glad I'm in Texas. They say everything big in Texas. Booty, beers, and bottles.
Booty. Oh, that is fantastic.
It's also we were talking earlier about what it's like, what's different growing up as a kid these days versus when we did.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of it's internet related, but the one big difference was that I think I was in 9th or 10th grade when Sir Mix-a-Lot's I Like Big Butts and I Can't Outlie came out. And it was, I don't think people would realize what a vast gap there was in cultures to where we were coming off the heels of an era of the supermodel where 6-foot-tall, 93-pound women were the ideal in the white world. And Sir Mix-a-Lot came along and had a great song that was a crossover hit, which I feel like sparked the change. To where now, like, women are getting surgical procedures to get big booties.
Bigger butts,
which is a healthier, you know, a healthier in terms of psychologically, at least, compared to back when women were starving themselves so they could look like whichever heroin chic Kate Moss version of was on Elle magazine that day.
I am glad you brought that. You know what? Sir Mix-a-Lot does not get the credit he deserves. Is he in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Because he should be, just based
on
that
one song.
They put
a lot of people who aren't rock artists in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now, so I'm not sure.
Is Sir Mix-a-Lot in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Because you're right, he should be. He really launched a new generation of... No, he's not. According to AI Overview on Google, Sir Mix-a-Lot is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's known for his hit song, Baby Got Back, which gained popularity in the 1990s.
Back, I can't remember. I couldn't remember the name of the song. Outkast is the non-rock entry this year in
they go out of their way to have a representative each year that's not necessarily rock.
I don't know if they go out of their way or not, but I don't, like, the standards have changed a little bit. I had a good conversation with Bun B about this, actually. Somewhere along the way, rock got segregated, you know?
Yeah.
Like, where it used to be, obviously, it sprung from rhythm and blues and everything, and Chuck Berry and all that. Somewhere along the way, it got very segregated.
Yeah.
There's just very few black rock musicians. So I don't know, how they're going about handling it now.
Yeah.
But, Outkast, It's Bad Company, Chubby Checker.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Going back to the past. Joe Cocker, Cyndi Lauper, Soundgarden, The White Stripes. I said Soundgarden, like it was two words. It's a sound garden?
The garden, it is a garden with sound, I believe. It's, yes.
An Outcast.
That is a diverse crew right there, man. Both chronologically and, I think, you know, ethnically. Yeah.
Speaking of which, by the way, if you ever want to see one of the greatest guitar performances ever, and relevant to the topic, yep. Prince at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
yeah.
While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Unbelievable.
Incredible.
I watched it like 20 times in a row a few weeks ago.
So good, man. It's so good. It's probably on TikTok somewhere. Remember Lovie? That's the one thing I loved about Lovie Smith. Remember Lovie Smith said how much he loved TikTok because he loved watching old musical performances on there? I'm like, I like this guy. And then they won three games. And I still liked him, but I was a little angry with him that year. That's interesting. Cyndi Lauper, WWE Hall of Famer as well, in addition to going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She's also a She was a big part of the rise of wrestling back in the 80s because they got connected with MTV.
Is it Albano or Albino?
It's Albano. A-L-B-A-N-O. Okay. Yeah, A-L-B-A-N-O. And Hulk Hogan.
That's one of those things as a kid I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know? You couldn't just Google it. Is it Albino or Albano?
It's Lou
Albano. And somehow
Albano.
In the last 40 years, I
still haven't found out how it's pronounced. That's great.
I was like, I remember thinking, like, he doesn't look like an Albino. That's a weird word for
I got drunk with him one time in the late 90s when WWE was in town, where I was, I think I was in Chicago at the time, I can't remember, I might have been on business, and he was there. He was the reason I started watching wrestling, because I'm flipping through the channels as a kid, and he's on there, and he's this bad guy manager, and he is screaming like a maniac at the TV screen with two wild Samoans behind him that are like chewing on bones. I'm like, what am I watching here? This is amazing. And I told him that. I told him, I said, you're the reason I'm watching it. He's hammered. He's like, oh, that's great. That's great. I'm like, it was awesome. That was, I enjoyed that a lot. Sir Mix-a-Lot, My Posse is on Broadway. Okay. That's, all right. There you go.
I'll see him when they come to Houston.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you into the 9 o'clock hour. All right. Does pettiness pay? This might be a lesson for you kids to get petty. There is a job out there that the pettier you are, the more money you make. And we've got the proof for it coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up. but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.